If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Thanks to Audible for supporting The Instance. Amazon Prime members for a limited time can start an Audible membership for just $4.95 a month for the first 3 months at audible.com/wow or text wow to 500-500. Hey guys, before we get going here, for the next 15 to 20 minutes or so of the show, we have a discussion that we think is very important, not only for the show, but for some recent events. If you're not into it, you can definitely skip it. And there's a big old fat regular instance right after that, which you should all enjoy because that's what you came here for. But this serious discussion happens. Like I said, it's about 15, close to 20 minutes. And you're encouraged to listen to it. But if you don't want to, hey, you know, shouldn't have to. You can skip ahead if you want. Anyway, see you on the other side. Hello, everybody. Scott here with Garrett and Patrick. We're starting the show a little bit different this morning. It's morning for some of us, evening for others. For a very specific reason, as many of you may have heard, and some of you maybe not have heard, this will be the first you're hearing of it for all we know. There were some pretty gnarly allegations that were made against Mark Turpin, a.k.a. Terpster, who was a part of this show or has been for a very long time, since 2010, and certainly as a guest before that. And then he admitted to those things and stepped down from his position at the job he's working at in the U.K., and one of the results is that he is no longer on this show, but we felt very strongly that it was important that we talk about it a little bit. Not a lot, but enough to sort of express where we're at. It's been a rough about 8 days since we got the news that it was all sort of official, and it's been kind of an emotional roller coaster for all of us and many of you as listeners I know as well. So I guess just quickly, we should probably get into it. Patrick, do you want to start us off or have anything to say?
Sure.
You want to say?
And just to specify, it's sexual harassment allegations, which are no more, you know, not allegations anymore because he's admitted to it. Right. And it was, my understanding is through text, and there was some requests for images and images sent back, and roughly, that's, well, leave it to, you can search if you want more. But some people have been hearing us or reading us talking about it through a statement you put up on the website and Twitter, and there's been a lot of back and forth. We handled some things kind of poorly because our closeness to Terpster made it difficult for us to express things the way we should. And maybe you can put up the link to the Twitter thread. I summarized all of this in the show notes, but the reason we're talking about it again is that we felt quite strongly that we shouldn't just corner it off on Twitter or anywhere else and talk about it on the show, which is the main vector people get the information about the show, obviously, through. And we needed to say that what Terpster did is not okay, and there's no world in which it is okay, and we needed to tell it to people through this medium. You know, there's some attention being brought to the fact that sometimes famous YouTubers or Twitch people just do something dumb and then post an apology on Twitter and no one ever sees it. I think it's important to acknowledge it and to spell out the fact that what he did is beyond not okay. And just maybe very quickly to express it to some people who might think, well, you know, it's just texts and it's not so bad. First of all, it's never okay to do that unless it's your girlfriend or boyfriend and you've discussed it with them first. And second of all, the real problem there is that he was in a position of such power and influence as the CEO of one of the highest biggest YouTube channels in the UK and possibly in the world for some time. Imagine a woman getting a solicitation like this from him, thinking there might be a way this will advance my career, and he's such a it he had such power, and it's the typical thing of someone in a powerful position abusing it in that way, which is terrible. And there's no excuse or you know, diminishing that fact. And of course, as the people who will go and see in the statement have will see, it was difficult for us to express it, but I think this is the important part. You said it, Scott, in the statement, mm-hmm. but there's also some other things because reasons.
Right.
And yeah, so it's been difficult, but I think we all felt we needed to address it and say it and not shy away from it.
I agree 100%. And everything you just said, I agree with. And it is only made harder and all the more difficult because we're talking about somebody we've known very well and thought we've known very well in those regards for a very long time. And when this comes out, it's devastating when it's someone who you're close with. I can't imagine how much more devastating it must be for those who were victims in the wake of this. And they deserve your attention. They deserve your understanding. While Terpstra has acknowledged what he's done, and there is some honor in that, it doesn't excuse what he did. And it doesn't change, you know, it doesn't change the need for us to, first of all, acknowledge that, not entirely dismiss the fact that, you know, this is off the backs of a almost 13-year friendship that we've had with him, and not to diminish the fact that he's off the show. He's that's it.
Yeah, I think there are things, you know, the internet always goes, you know, 100% one way or the other. Some people are saying, oh, he did nothing wrong, which obviously is, you know, is a silly claim. Some people say he should be hanged and like there's, but this, what he did was bad and there are consequences. I hope the consequences are appropriate. He's off his job. I think he's going to have a very hard time finding work in the near future. I would like to think there's a path to redemption somewhere down the line after 15 million different steps. But I don't know. For now, he's off this show. He's off. I'm certainly not going to be asking him on my shows anytime soon. He doesn't have a job. I'm guessing things aren't, you know, very, his family isn't very happy. I hope is that all of this is handled in an appropriate manner. And again, if we're not expressing this in the best possible way, I would like people to remember that the reason we're talking about it again, after a lot of yelling on Twitter, and we could have said, you know, we said what we needed to say, that's it. But we wanted to talk about it here again, and it's not fun for anyone, because it's important to say that, you know, it's not okay what he did.
Yeah.
And there are consequences, as there should be. So
And there's a lot of collateral damage with stuff like this, be it relationships or both working and personal. In my case, both. Garrett, in your case, even though you've sort of joined the show more lately, you know, and more recently, you know, this just has the ability to impact us all. There's like nobody who, if you're in this community, if you've been a part of it for very long. Like, there's no way you didn't get swiped in some way by this. And I wanted to make sure you had a chance to say anything you wanted to before we move on today.
I mean, I don't really have anything unique to add in addition to what you and Patrick have said here. It was kind of wild. I was out of the loop when all this went down last week. I was traveling with my wife. And it was just hard for me to process and still is. Like you mentioned, I haven't been on the instance nearly as long, and my relationship with Terpstra was not nearly as long as it has been for both of you, or as deep as it has been for both of you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is just something I frankly don't know how to deal with, because I thankfully up until this point I've had no experience with an event like this.
I'm kind of with you. There's a certain naivete to, in my experience with this as well, because like you hear about it, you know, this stuff, it happens and it happens to people, but it's never, it's that old, it's that ancient thing. It never happens to you, or you never truly understand until it happens to you or someone near you. And that's what this feels
like. Exactly. And you know, we're here talking about it now. So I will say that, you know, Scott, you and I were exchanging texts while I was traveling, and I read your statement that you posted, and there was a lot of, I don't know, for lack of a better word, blowback on your original statement. You have since amended that statement, I think rightfully. And it's not that I vehemently disagreed with your original statement. I was on the same page. It's that I think for some people there was too much time spent in that statement on the subject of redemption for the issues. And again, I don't think any of that is wrong, but I think when you're in, as you said, Patrick, a place of power, a public figure in the way that T is, that it unintentionally from folks like us all kind of agreeing on that point that, you know, we hope he gets help, and that's
exactly right. I should say, by the way, I 100% agree with you. I think that I was just, and I said so much in the statement, in my follow up, my addendum, I basically said I'm too close to this, and I am, and I was, and I certainly still am in some ways, because on my end, it looks like somebody I was very close to has made a horrendous mistake, and I don't yet know. In fact, especially then, I didn't really know who the victims were. There wasn't a lot of talk about that. And so my focus was
wrong.
And
that's the issue, right? That was, sorry to interrupt, Scott, but the issue with that statement, which I guess we can talk about since we're bringing it up, is that we were focusing on Terpstra because he's the person we know. And kind of it took away from the real issue, which is the victims being victimized.
Yeah, right? It absolutely did. Yeah.
And I think that for us, being inexperienced with these things, I'm sure when you hear statements from politicians or actors or whatever public figures, they go through 15 million PR people who say, oh, or not just PR people, someone who actually knows what they're talking about and what matters in these dire situations. Mm-hmm. And if we had done that, maybe someone would have said, dude, like, don't talk about how this is affecting you. It's about, and here we're sitting talking about how it's affecting us. I guess it's unavoidable, but the real issue, obviously, is that, again, what Terpstra did affected some people very seriously. And our main concern, I think, is we should make sure that whatever we do, it doesn't make it seem like we're in any way excusing or condoning. Not condoning, I think, is no one will think we're condoning it.
Of course,
but
not
excusing it because we're friends with him. And hopefully it's been made very clear that we're not. And that the main concern I talked about in the follow-up Twitter thread is, if this makes any victim feel like they will have a harder time speaking up, then we really messed up.
Yeah.
That is the worst thing that we could.
That's the part that really got to me last week with the statement, is some had pointed out that if a victim was reading what I said, which was, you know, clearly extremely disappointed in Terpstra, but not very focused on those he affected, how would they read it? How would it read to them? And that's when it dawned on me. I went, oh, this would not read great at all. Like, this would read, you know, maybe this is what happens to everybody, because you can only talk about what you know or who you know or whatever. But I was just too emotional and too close to it. And I don't regret writing it. I think that real-time process of understanding and course correction and then coming together now and discussing this is a healthy thing. But I absolutely see their point, and that's why I changed it. And I feel very strongly that needs to be said here again. You've said it. I agree with it. I've said this since. Nothing can excuse what he did but him. And when I say that, I mean he has to. There's a giant mountain in front of him that he's going to have to climb. And that mountain includes all kinds of things if he wants to find some kind of redemption for this. And that's on him. The cat's not on us, not anybody else. It's on him. And those he affected, those who were victims in this particular case, they're incredibly brave for coming forward. I've tried harder in the last 8 days than I ever have to try to put myself in the position of that point of view. And it's been, I think it's been good for me to do that. So yes, 99% of you hear us from the show. There's an ancillary group of you who hear us on live streams, or you might catch the YouTube thing, or you might whatever. But
well, just read the tweets and
yeah, or if you follow us on Twitter. But in this particular case, to the audience who, you know, checks us out every week, who supports us, who has been here all these years, and even those of you who've just shown up for the first time and are hearing this for your first episode, I still think it's important that we're straight with you, that we talk to you plainly, and we sort of express where our heads are at with this, this giant mess. So my goal is to continue producing the best World of Warcraft and Blizzard show we can, to continue to rely on each other as co-hosts and as friends, and not put this behind us in the sense that ignore it ever happened, but move past it, get productive, and in future, I don't know, I feel like I came out of this a little smarter, a little less naive, a little less, I mean, that may sound like a negative. I think it's been a healthy journey. It's been a rough 8 days, but I'm not sure I would change it, because it really did make me more introspective. It made me think about people's perspective that I don't know, you know, those sorts of things. Sorry, Patrick, go ahead.
No, yeah, I mean, that's exactly, even I consider myself a pretty strong feminist, and even I didn't see some of the issues initially when, you know, we first started talking. And I think what we did was healthy. We went and talked to a number of women and asked for advice and started listening. And it's very important in those cases to not be adamant about what you know, especially when you're not part of the group that is affected, and to listen. And hopefully that's what we did, and we focused on the right things here, I hope.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm sure we'll get feedback. If you're mad that you think we're being too hard on him, then I'm done talking to those people. I really am.
Yeah, if anything, we were really not being hard enough, I think.
The only other thing I want to say is to the folks that have that take, which is it is not our job to forgive him, and it is not your job, nameless person on Twitter, to forgive him. That's on the victims.
Yeah. Yeah. The victims get to choose that. They get to, you know, there's ancillary victims. There's going to be people like his family. They're going to have to, I don't know how that even is. Like, we can't even speak to it. All I can imagine is that
also not me saying they should.
Right. Exactly. We're not saying any of that. We're just saying, hey, he did a really shitty thing and he's copped to it. Everything's moving forward as it's supposed to. And I don't mean because he copped to it. I'm saying that's good that he did, victims can now start to find some healing. We can start to figure out, you know, what the frickin' hell happened, and we can move on, and we can try to figure this stuff out in our own heads. And it's just important you guys know where we stand on it. And again, I don't want to hear, I'm not going to listen to any more people who don't side with people who are victimized by this sort of thing. I just don't want to hear it.
All right. There's people who were, you know, you get into a place where there are people who are saying things that aren't real about him, about what he did, in both, you know, in it, that make it worse or that make it not as bad. And that's, so you have sides and people who start saying, as you said, Scott, the people who defend him, which that's why in the beginning we were saying there's no excuse. It doesn't. But if you think, on the other hand, you want to think we're biased, go ahead. But if you think we're still not handling this properly, we're very open to doing what we've been doing since the beginning.
Yeah, no,
or not the beginning. You know,
communication is different than you yelling at me on Twitter. Like, if you want to, you just want to discuss this sort of stuff and want to find some understanding between people or whatever, that I'm always down for that. Always. Yeah. Always and forever.
As if you're, you know, conversations about this are always important. And yeah. Anyway, all right. This has probably gone on for too long. Just the last word on this is we are thinking about, you know, the fact that what he did was wrong and the bravery of the victims who came forward, because if they hadn't, he would probably still be doing it. So it's very important that people do speak up and feel like when they do, people like us will make sure that they are respected for it, and that the people who are victimizing them are not protected. So
that's a good final word. I like it. Now this.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Well, well, well. Hello, everybody. It is time for us to talk about all things World of Warcraft and Blizzard. You know, it actually turned out to be kind of a wacky week for Blizzard news. And because of all the vacation stuff we had going last week, Patrick's been on a bit of a vacation. Garrett just had a rad trip with his wife they do every year, which sounds like a blast. I was headed out Friday for a birthday weekend. So I was gone all weekend and we just couldn't do a show. And I thought
just
to myself,
to correct you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Scott, sorry, I want to correct you. I'm not even back from vacation. My vacations are very long. I came back specifically for this show because I thought it was so important mm-hmm. that I'm here when we talk about Frank Pierce.
Right. We have to talk about Frank Pierce. I mean, look, here's the deal. You French people take 9-month vacations and I admire it and I'm jealous of it. But
just long enough to make a baby.
Yeah, I hope
that's what we do.
I hope you continue to enjoy whatever's left of it. But let's get to the first thing today. Frank Pierce stepping down. These are his words. The time has come for me to step away from Blizzard and pass the torch to the next generation of leaders. My journey as part of Blizzard's community began over 28 years ago. Alan Adams, who he's referring to, offered me an opportunity to join him and Mike in their adventure and dream to make video games. Video games were a passion that we all shared, and I had only a fleeting hope that I would have the opportunity to make games one day. The decision was an easy one for me. I did not have the benefit of internet searches to help me start down the path. Alan's offer letter was the best and only chance I thought I might have. Looking back, I know how incredibly fortunate I was to have been a big part of what Blizzard has become. And that's just a piece of his long message. He's gone. He's leaving. Frank Pierce. I have a crazy story. A theory. You guys want to hear my theory?
Oh, always.
All right.
Okay.
Imagine this. Frank Pierce is leaving because
he's going to make a new company with Mike Morhaime.
Oh, just jump in front of my car and throw the fish into the wind.
Sorry, fine. I didn't.
But I honestly think
jumping in front of your car would get you run over. So I'm not sure that's an apt analogy.
It's not. I don't make apt analogies.
Carjack my metaphor. My theory. There you go.
There you go. So those two getting together to start afresh doesn't seem so crazy to me for some reason. Because here's my reasoning for thinking this is possible. And I'm not saying it's probable, I'm just saying it's possible. I guess anything's possible. But when Mike left, or when Mike got his NDA lifted, when was that, April or whatever, and he was able to start talking, unlike what I thought he was going to say, which was, I'm going to retire, I'm done, thanks everybody, so long and thanks for all the fish. Instead, he said, I don't know what I'm doing next. I might have this idea or that idea. He starts talking about like he's got ideas. He's going to do things. And then to have Frank, the 1/3 of the co-foundership leaving on the heels of that, just makes me wonder. It's also kind of nuts that the one guy who founded the company all those years ago and then left for a really long time is now the only one there from the original trilogy, which is very odd.
It is a bit weird.
Yeah. So I'm not saying it's 100% sure, but let's just pass the idea around. Is it too crazy to think that Frank Pierce and Mike Morhaime couldn't Blizzard 2.0 this and I don't know, start in a different way with a different focus, with a different, you know, with a different video game future.
I'm more interested in what they call the company, because it has to just be the opposite of a blizzard. So I don't know if you just call it rain, storm, humidity, or summer. But that those are their only options.
Dirt Devil Games.
There you go.
Dirt Devil Games is the opposite of a blizzard. I mean, I don't think it's that crazy. So Patrick, talk me down from my tree. Am I crazy?
You have a crazy point. It is somewhat possible. The thing that makes me think it might happen is the statements, the interviews that Morheim did a week ago, 2 weeks ago. He did a series of interviews, maybe two or three, with a couple of publications. He had nothing to say. Nothing to say about anything, but it wasn't just one publication. So it wasn't like, oh, hey, let's talk to that Morheim guy who's wonder what he's doing now. It was actually a coordinated PR something. And I guess it could be that Blizzard asked him to say good things about them or keep them in his mind and prayer, I guess. But it sounded more like he wanted to stay in the public eye, because he might have something to announce later. And I don't know, in which case it makes it pretty clear that the reason he left was not because he thought, oh, I'm done working in this industry, I've worked for too long, now I want to do fun stuff. It would be because obviously he was not happy with the way things were going. That being said, I'm guessing they're going to have 2 years worth of non-competes. So that would make it for Frank Pierce, you know, 2 years from now where he could start something. But we're not going to see anything anytime soon, at least from Frank Pierce and even from Morheim. It's what?
Well, do you think that? So, because I remember when Rob Pardo left to start up the whatever that thing's called, Bonfire. When he left, he had a 2 year non-compete. So you're right that seems about standard, but it seems like Morheim may not be under the same rules, because it was a non-compete. It was also a non, like, you couldn't talk about stuff like this, and that all got
NDA,
lifted.
Yeah, and then but the NDA is forever, or you know, for a very very long time. The NDA is not just going to end after 2 years, I think.
Right.
The non-compete is a different thing.
I think,
and I can't imagine that they would let Morheim leave without a non-compete.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like the founders get weird treatment, or special treatment, not weird. You don't think?
I mean, he was the CEO. Like, yeah. If anyone was going to get away out of that, I think it would have been Morheim.
Yeah.
No, yeah, but no, he still has Kotick on, you know, on top of him. This is not something that he can get out of. He has a board. He's not like the dictator of Blizzard. Yeah. I would be incredibly surprised if he manages to, you know, get out of the company without a non-compete.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't know. Is what
we don't know. But
pure speculation. Pure speculation at this point. Like, for all I know, like, he's always been the quiet guy anyway, right? Frank Pierce is the dude that's in the background, not really saying much. He does not really out in front. When he is, it's rare.
Most of the folks that work at Blizzard, I think of as actual human beings. I don't think of Frank Pierce as a human being. He is as much of a human being as, like, Walt Disney is a human being to me. I've never met the man. It just seems like this, like, weird rock star legend.
Yeah.
That you don't. I met Mike Morheim in line for Baja Fresh.
Right.
At freaking BlizzCon. I can't imagine Frank Pierce getting his own coffee.
Right. Nobody. Frank Pierce is always that guy that you never see in the elevator stories. It's always Morheim. It's always somebody else. Frank Pierce never in that elevator with anybody.
Yeah. So it's funny because they address it in J. Allen Brack's statement. They address this and they say, you know, oh, he's a bit rough when you first get to know him, but then he's just the best person ever. And I can totally believe that he's, you know, a very good guy, but yes, definitely. Frank Pierce, the very few interactions I've had with him, oh my God, this is not someone you actually want to hang out with.
Yeah, he doesn't really have that. Very impressive. He's not a very press the flesh sort of out in front in the spotlight kind of guy. And that's okay. Yeah. In fact, I think if any industry needs brains like that, where they're much more analytical and behind the scenes and the systems and, you know, all that, games need those people. And Frank Pierce is probably perfect for what Blizzard needed in that regard. But to have him come out on stage once in a while, like I think he was the one that came out and announced the Necromancer for Diablo 3 a couple years ago. And that was a shock. I was like, whoa, Frank Pierce, what are you doing on stage? This is unusual. But
I thought you were going to say, oh, not Diablo 4. That's a shock.
Well, that too. A little bit of that. But yeah, he'll be missed in a different kind of way. You know, it's not the same as Morheim.
I mean, I'm sure some people will miss him at the company. He wasn't really public in any way. I don't know that most players won't even know who he is.
Yeah, a lot of players won't. Yeah, I think you're right. And not by design, but he didn't really, you know, he wasn't pushing the name out there. He wasn't the Chris Metzen or the Morheim of the company where he was always on display. But I could see somebody with his experience, and he says in his statement, he's like, I've spent my entire adult life, my entire working life at Blizzard. That's it. There have been no other jobs. There have been no other things that have happened. I have to think that kind of like singular position.
It's the same with Morheim.
It's true. Right? It's true. That's well, pretty close. Yeah, I think with Morheim. Yeah. But regardless, like I can't think of two industry veterans I would rather see team back up and do something than those two.
Oh, that would be, and the drama, imagine.
Oh my gosh.
I don't want the drama, but no. It would send such a clear message that the way things were moving at Blizzard, we were not happy with. So we decided, F it, we're going to do it somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and it might even be that they want to start a small company again. And they don't have, you know, they figure Blizzard has become a big corporation. We just want to have a small company where we feel at home. It's what World of Warcraft did to that company is impossible to explain. Mm-hmm. It like, I don't know how much it grew by, you know, how many times it got bigger, but it's like 3 to 5 to 10 times bigger. So it's a very different company from what they had in the beginning. And it might be that they just want to, you know, have fun doing other things that are not work because they're incredibly rich and they want to enjoy life.
That's I think they're just going to go to the local comic store and play in Friday Night Magic every Friday together.
Oh my gosh. Very great possible. Idea. I want to do that. Can I do
that's
that?
That's it.
Can we all do that? Let's just all do that. That sounds
the
good.
The only requirement is that you wear jorts because that's what Mike Morheim was wearing in that photo of him playing Magic on the floor.
Yeah.
When they announced Hearthstone.
Jorts are like
jean shorts. Yeah. Jean Patrick, shorts. Also known as crime Ouch. Against fashion.
Well, I mean, look,
I am hurt by the description of it alone.
It was early 90s, man. They didn't know. They weren't.
Yeah.
To be confused with cutoffs. No, this is like a professionally hemmed jean short.
Yeah.
You mean they're like that on purpose?
Yes.
Like you buy them.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, yeah. They exist. You could walk into it, probably an H&M here in the States, and you'd find a pair. They exist.
But,
yeah.
Oh, but yeah. Why?
Because we are terrible.
Because 80s, I think, is probably
80s, 90s, yeah.
Because the kids love John Cena.
King of the jort, John Cena. Anyway, that's happening. We'll follow it, see what happens. But what's his name? My brain just went dead. He did a follow-up post. Jalen Brack, sorry. He put up a follow-up post thanking Frank and sort of lavishing him with all these compliments and talking about how, you know, future's never been brighter for Blizzard and all of that. But if people thought a couple of years ago you would see an actual changing of the guard, you're literally seeing that. Like, that's if Frank had stayed forever, and I'm not even sure Alan Adham's there for the long haul.
What if he leaves and joins joins Morheim and Pierce?
You know, it'd be great. They should make a studio in like Canada,
Anaheim.
Yeah, or no, Canada, and call it Blizzard North. Just do it again.
Oh,
just be Blizzard North again.
I mean, it's not a one to one because the studio had already been formed once the second wave of people started leaving. But this does feel a little like the Team 5 thing, only with all of the founders of Blizzard as opposed to just the public figures of Team 5.
Right.
And just to be clear, it is. We have no idea about any of this. It's very possible they're just leaving, as we said, to enjoy life.
Oh, so yeah, we don't know. For all we know, they're not going to do you know, anything. If, I mean, if I were them, I'd be tired, but maybe they just need it. I know what I hope. What I hope is, first and foremost, that those two can bask in the glory that was this company they made out of nothing. I think that's amazing. And that they can leave that feeling good about themselves. But secondarily, and more, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm being selfish here, I would like them to establish a new video game company and then blow all our minds with new great content. That would be great. And do it before we're all dead, please. That'd be great too. Like, I feel like telling those guys a bonfire.
I think they have a higher chance of releasing a game before Bonfire. So
at this stage, yeah. Bonfire, all I hear from Bonfire is, we're hiring. If are you an artist or are you a designer guy? We're hiring again. Every 6 months they're hiring, but then,
well,
nothing.
They got like money from Tencent, didn't they?
Yes. Everyone did.
I mean, everyone gets money from Tencent these days. But
By the way, this episode of The Instance brought to you by Tencent, apparently. We are also now getting...
Shoot, really? When's my check get here?
Subsidized by Tencent. Well, yeah, it's only 10 cents, so it's cash. They give you a dime.
Oh.
Just gotcha. A dime.
They just mail a dime?
Well, that's what they don't tell you. They give you... They'll invest, but you only get paid in pennies. It's really bad. Up to 10 pennies. Anyway. Oh, and I noticed this. I don't know if you guys have noticed this. I'm not saying there's any kind of xenophobia going on with my brain or anything, but there are an awful lot of new movies coming out, and when you see the trailer, it quickly flashes all the production companies, and Tencent Pictures is sure showing up a lot in mainstream big Hollywood monster AAA movies. I'm just starting to notice it. I'm not saying the Chinese are taking us over. I'm just saying a lot of Tencent out there.
Well, they have a lot of money and they have a lot of people who can watch movies, so they're producing things and making sure it's what their countrymen want to see, I think.
I hope they're proud of themselves because they made The Meg and that was a terrible movie about a giant shark.
Hey, listen, the Chinese film market is our only chance for another Warcraft movie, okay? So you be kind.
Oh, I didn't think of that. That's a really good point. That's a good point. All right.
Even though that movie was kind of bad, I would still like to see more movies.
Okay. Well, when that thing comes out in full Chinese with no English subtitles, we'll have a conversation about it then.
Oh, someone will translate it eventually and I'll be happy.
Uther, played by Jet Li. And
That would be interesting.
It would be.
Dude, I would watch the hell out of whatever it is you're concocting from, I'm assuming, your extremely limited memory of Chinese actors.
That's true. Actually, I love Hong Kong films, Hong Kong action movies and otherwise. I love them. Current like Chinese dramas, like the Korean dramas that are also on like Netflix and stuff, I can't wrap my head around why people love those, but to each their own. And if it's Hong Kong style, I'll go for it. Or you make like a Shaw Brothers style kung fu movie out of the Warcraft franchise, I'm all in.
What are you talking about?
Have you ever seen a Shaw Brothers movie? Like they're really bad, really bad 60s, 70s, and 80s martial arts action films with all the dubs and stuff. It's those movies that, like, totally inspired.
Oh, I can't imagine what that is, but...
Oh, they're so great.
Why would you make a kung fu movie out of Warcraft?
Because it'd be great. It'd be great. I'm just saying, go all in. 10-cent money. You got all the money you need. Make it just a big martial arts fantasy film that just happens to have a bunch of Warcraft names in it. I'd go see that. And so would you. You'd go in a heartbeat, Patrick. Like tomorrow,
I'd watch anything that has Warcraft on it, but I'd still be weirded out by whatever that would end up being.
What if it was just all in Pandaria and it was just pandas? Then what?
Sure, yeah, that could work.
All right, I'm in. I feel like I'm dangerously close to offending somebody, but I don't know who.
I don't want
to
be.
I think you've already offended people.
I don't know who I'm offending. No bones, though. No bones. All right. This is the big news of the week. In fact, it deserves this because it's also kind of scary. The expansion got leaked, we think, anyway.
Well, it's possible.
Yes.
There's one post on, what is it, Reddit?
4chan, I think.
Yeah.
Which I'm, you know, not a big 4chan fan, but the rumor is that this guy is a Blizzard employee, works on the WoW team, and leaked this information under guise of anonymity. And if it's true... According to the leak, the upcoming expansion of World of Warcraft will be called Age of Darkness. And, of course, until Blizzard confirmed anything, you know, this is all grain of salt, but I think worth talking about. The leak originated from 4chan and later appeared on MMO Champion. As mentioned in the leak, one of the new features coming to World of Warcraft includes a new class called the Tinker, This was rumored in other places before all this, and that is part of this post. This new Tinker class starts at level 1 and comes with two new specializations, including Explosive, which is their ranged DPS, and Combat Medic, which is Healer, but there's also a Tank spec, according to this. Interestingly, it says the new Tinker class is expected to be purchasable with the final patch of Battle for Azeroth before the release of World of Warcraft. My so guess is...
would it be a thing where you buy, just like the Demon Hunter?
Yes, that's how they'll do it. Right. You'll get it early if you pre-order the expansion. That's my thinking.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect it to be like a Diablo.
Pay $10 to get a new character.
Yeah, that would be dirty and make a lot of people mad.
Yep, I agree.
And they would never make people mad.
No, they don't. Well, I mean, they're going to make people mad anyway, whether or not they deserve it. But if they just for like new classes, $10, and you don't get it with the next expansion, I would say that would be you were allowed to get mad about.
Yes.
This.
Yes,
that's true.
Now, here's the part I don't know.
Behind your anger is what I'm saying, as opposed to store mounts, which I don't like, but I don't also care about very much.
It's great to have something you don't like, but don't care about. I love things like that in my life. You know what I mean? Like, I have so many of those.
Nickelback has ended up there.
Yeah,
There was a time where I had to, you know, I was very passionate about my hatred of Nickelback, and now I don't care anymore.
Just don't care.
That's called maturity.
But, oh, hey, we have a perfect measurement for maturity. Finally, scientists, pay attention. Behavioral scientists.
Care about Nickelback?
How much Nickelback? How much do you care about your hatred of Nickelback?
Yeah, no, that's the first one on the card now.
I think there's a very recent Patton Oswalt bit about that.
Oh, I should like to listen to that. I like him. Tinker will be playable by, and it says, this is the part I don't know if I believe. Gnomes, Mechagnomes, Draenei, Goblins, Gil Goblins, and Forsaken. So the only thing outside of the shorty races are the undead, and that doesn't sound right to me. I feel like that would...
And Draenei.
Oh, and Draenei, but there's... Yeah. But why... Okay, that's fine.
I would take issue with this because I feel like Blood Elves, with their kind of steampunky nature, should be able to have Tinkers.
But you like Blood Elves.
I love Blood Elves.
I mean, unreasonably like them. You like them in
a way. I think this is the one that makes it sound the least convincing, because my feeling, and this is based on both just feelings and what I kind of remember from what was happening when I was there, mm-hmm. is that if you don't give people, those are very peculiar races, except maybe for Draenei. And some people love them, but I think there's a lot of people who are not going to find a race they love in this list. And you don't want to create a new class and force people into something. There aren't enough options.
Right.
So this is the thing that makes me think, everything else is like, well, some of it is, we've heard before, which either means someone saw what was leaked or invented before and got inspired by that, or they actually work there and that's why we heard about this, because it's true. This one makes me think,
Did you see the snapshot somebody got with their phone that looked like a really convincing Warcraft logo with that name on it. Yeah, with Age of Darkness, and also they had Shadowlands. I mean, kind of, but it looked really legit. Like, not super fake.
It's possible. It's entirely possible that's the case. I think there are some elements you didn't talk about which are super interesting.
Well, let's get to them. So some of the stuff we think we already knew, they were planning, that were already rumored, like you said, and so maybe this is cobbled together, but planning to lower the level cap with the World of Warcraft Age of Darkness expansion. So all characters would be brought down to 50. There'd be a level squished to 50. The new upper limit for the next expansion would be 60. So we would all be leveling 50 to 60. This way players are able to earn new abilities for characters with the essence system between levels 50 and 60. And also, I would think that makes more sense for you to start a tinker at level 1. In a new place, possibly not have to go to Old World at all. I don't know how they're going to do that. But anyway, that was part of it. Here's the story bits, okay? Put this in your cheek and gum like a, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Here you go.
Like chewing tobacco? That's disgusting.
I know, it really is, and it's cancerous, and you really shouldn't do it. N'Zoth unleashes darkness over Azeroth as foreshadowed in the Nighthold raid encounter with Star Augur Atreus. Starting point in the is the attack on Thunderbluff raid, where he interrupts the Horde and Alliance forces in the final battle. Kalimdor is the first goal as the strives to revive one of our oldest foes, C'Thun in Silithus. To do this, he's seeking to destroy the Bronze Dragonflight and turn Nosdormu into Morozond, so he alters the timeline where C'Thun doesn't get defeated and the Battle of Ankaraj is lost by Horde and Alliance in consequence of that. That's the story. I'm going to say that this is my least believable part because I can't believe Blizzard would want to try to put a mainstream face on old god business. I think it's hard because the minute you start getting into that kind of Cthulhu zone of Warcraft, you start to put off potentially your sort of mainstream attraction. Not put off, but I don't think people are drawn to that the way they are with things they recognize, like, you know, knights and fierce battle with an orc and you know, all the sort of tropes of fantasy. They get a little bit weird when you get into, you know, tentacle land and giant gods who whisper to each other and the planet's a god. So discuss. Am I wrong?
I you are so wrong. You've never been more wrong in your life, Scott.
Wow. That's saying something, because I have been wrong before.
That's amazing. I think we're all pretty burnt out with generic Warcraft, which is essentially the overarching story of BFA, which is Horde versus Alliance. Do you not care about that anymore? Sorry. Hope you enjoy 2 years of nothing but that.
I mean, I agree, but don't you think this stuff is a little spacey for your average?
Yeah. My God, the you're talking about the MMO where the second expansion literally sent us to space.
Yeah, sort of. Though
so weird. Like when I look back on it, the bravery and arguably insanity of Blizzard Entertainment for what was at the time the biggest video game in the history of anything. World of Warcraft vanilla, coming out with their expansion saying, let's go to space and there's goat people. And like, they totally just went for it. And I think it worked. And it is some of the most memorable parts of World of Warcraft for me. So yeah, I disagree with you. I'm going to admit a very, very strong bias in loving anything old god related. Mm. And very much wanting an expansion centered around that.
Patrick, what's your deal?
I'm with Garrett.
Yeah,
I'm with Garrett.
Okay,
sorry, Scott. Yeah.
Well, you guys of course, because you're the core. You're the guys who you know what you want from Warcraft. But I'm just saying, for a game that needs to try to do more retention and gaining new players or returning players.
I don't know. You know, retention, yes. Gaining new players, I'm sure it does gain new players sometimes, especially with the. You know, if the idea is that they're going to make a level squish, it's going to be easier to somewhat sell, I guess, 60 levels instead of 50, instead of 120. But I don't know. I think that's not their main concern.
Yeah,
the people who love WoW already love WoW.
It feels like if I'm Ian Hazzikostas, this is totally a thing I would make. Do you know what I mean?
He loves this stuff. And like the idea of, I'm very much in the camp of, we're going to see some type of the Black Empire be the next major landmass. That's still very fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's our aesthetic going into the next expansion, from what little we've seen, just from like the Azshara Warbringers animation, like that's still like a kingdom. It's not like so abstract that you can't wrap your brain around it. It's still cool looking high fantasy structures. It's kind of what you come to expect, but it's very different from the kind of nautical / troll empire, the themes we kicked off BFA with.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Well, I mean, there's in the leak, there's also the idea that they will the zones will be old world zones. Mm-hmm. And they would, we would level in Mulgore and that kind of thing for the new expansion,
right?
Which I think they have been bitten pretty badly with what happened in Cataclysm, where we had zones that were weirdly separated.
Yeah, not everyone loved the reworking.
One unique continent.
Yeah, not everyone loved that, for sure.
I don't know if they would do that again.
Yeah, that is part of the rumors. I don't know where the Shadowlands are. Does anyone know where that is? Is that a place we've been to? No? Okay. So the one of the leaks is they showed there was a big wall map, and it was a very clandestine-looking phone shot of it, and it showed the Shadowlands, which is supposedly where the Alliance are going to be leveling, and a whole other landmass for a Horde, and I forgot the name.
That's where we go when we die.
Right. So that fits well with all your tentacle god bullshit, right? I don't want to. I'm actually excited for this. I want to make that clear. Like, if this is real and this is where we're going, I'm actually especially with you, Garrett. I love that motif. I love it. I was saying I don't know about the rest of the player base. I don't know.
I don't know of any direct connection between the old gods and the Shadowlands.
Hmm. Well, maybe, I don't know. Maybe we have to die to live. You know how that goes. That's like,
yeah,
life.
I find it unlikely that they're going to alter OG Azeroth again, because it wasn't the most successful thing in the world with Cataclysm. And time travel also sounds sketchy to me, because the last time we did that, it was Draenor. And that wasn't, you know, the biggest expansion either.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's like all these things seem to be pulling from motifs we've already played with in less popular expansions, not versus BFA, but I don't think anyone would make the argument that Cataclysm or Draenor it would be any of our big successful tentpole expansions.
Yeah. It's also whatever. Time travel ruins everything, by the way.
Does it?
Name a thing it doesn't ruin. You can't.
Let's see. It made Marvel better. It made a movie called Back to the Future exist.
Yeah, but all of them have. Here's the problem. Back to the Future, one of my favorite movies of all time. So I'll give you that one. But I had a lower or a higher tolerance for time travel goofs than I do now. Because now they won't leave my head, because they are all broken. All of them are broken. Even Endgames are broken. So when they screw it up in my head, I go, all right.
I think you have to go back and bleep that. Some people have not seen. Like, I was.
Oh my God, get off the show, Patrick. Just go away.
Wait a minute.
No, I'm like 4 months.
Yes. And some people could not go see it in the movies. And talking about it now.
I didn't even specify what movie it was in. I just blanket statement said there's time travel in Marvel.
There's time travel in Marvel. That's all he said.
I didn't even say movie.
Scott mentioned the name of the movie.
Yeah, I said there's time travel in Endgame, but I don't think that's a spoiler. There's just time travel, fine. Right?
You'll get people. There have been people who have worked very hard to not get spoiled in any way until the
you know VOD what they should do? They should
tomorrow.
Work, they should work really hard to watch the movie before now. That's it. They should work hard on. They should stop working.
Some people have families.
Well, that's your
I'm just
fault.
Saying. I don't care. I've seen it like 3 times.
Same here. Yeah.
There is no quality of you, Patrick, that annoys me more than this.
What, the all whole, right. the spoiler culture
anti-spoiler
thing? Anti-spoiler, yeah.
I'm glad you called it quality.
I couldn't give less of a shit about the plight of people who want to stay spoiler-free.
Oh,
of
man.
All of the crap I get dinged for online, I'm sorry, I don't care.
Oh, good. See, no, this is good, because now you will get most of the heat. I can escape this. This is
come
fine.
At me, so yeah. I don't can just sit here continuing not to give a flying shit about your concerns.
Garrett Art on Twitter, and he's got the mute button ready, so go.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to mute all of you people who are hopelessly triggered by something I don't care about.
Bruce Willis was dead the whole time. All right, moving
on. I'm going to let that one go.
Here's the thing that we do know for sure. We're going to know what this expansion is in a couple of months. So all of this either comes to fruition, like past leaks have, or none of it does, like other past fake leaks. So I'm kind of, it could go either way at this point, but. You know,
so here's another big news spoiler.
Yeah,
I'm going to BlizzCon.
Oh, yay!
After all,
nice.
Yay! I wasn't sure I was going to, and I figured, you know, I can't just stay one more year away from Garrett and Scott.
Yeah.
It just won't do.
It won't do.
And the thing is, it got me when I finally did. I thought I was not gonna go, and when I finally decided to go, it made me so excited about everything. Do you guys want to talk a little bit about what BlizzCon could be?
I can tell you what it is. What it's easy. It's easy. Here it is: Diablo 4, Overwatch 2, WoW expansion. That might be it, but that will make it the biggest announcement. So, thing in years.
That would I think if they don't have Diablo 4, they'd better have like Overwatch 2 or another new IP, because if they don't have something like this, it's going to be horrible. Like it's going to be, a lot of people are now deciding what they think about Blizzard, essentially.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the people, not the trolls who, you know, always hate everything, but a lot of the genuinely excited people, like who actually like the company or the game they made, the games they made, now are thinking, okay, we need something because this is just not doing it for us.
Right.
And so this year is super important. If there's no new game, no big game, they will be done with Blizzard, I think. I kind of include myself in that camp. Not done with Blizzard, but like, okay, you know, it's not really a company I care specifically about. It's just another company that sometimes puts out good games. Not, it's the company whose games I prefer among all of the companies in the history.
Interesting.
I get that. Because you and I are both PlayStation fans too. Yeah. So it's kind of like how I feel about PlayStation exclusives. Like, I'm pretty passionate about it, but it's not the kind of thing I'm going to go spin up a podcast for.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I actually really get where you're coming from, because I'm in a similar boat, because I think it's completely like there's no way we're not getting like a Diablo.
Right. Yeah. No, I,
like,
I
think it's, me, like, it's just a done deal at this point. Mm-hmm. But I am totally with you on the like this BlizzCon is going to set the future of my Blizzard fandom, like what level it's going
exactly
to be. After this exactly BlizzCon, I know am I going to continue being just a ravenous Blizzard fanboy, or am I just like a Warcraft fan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
At the end of this,
yeah.
And the thing is, as precarious, well, maybe that's not the right word, but as difficult a situation as it is, it's also very easy to solve, because if you have Diablo 4 and the Warcraft expansion, I think those two are almost givens. Given, if you have one more game, that would make it insane, right? If it would make it the biggest BlizzCon ever, and I think everyone would be hyped after that. And another thing which I think a lot of people are discounting is the release of Diablo Immortal. If they say, okay, we know, you know, you like, if they play on the don't you guys have phones thing and go like, don't you guys have phones? Well, you can download Diablo Immortal right now and play it with your friends at the con. If it's a bonus thing, I think they shift the hate for Immortal immediately. At worst, people are still like, well, I don't really care. But if it's a bonus thing on top of Diablo 4 and, you know, maybe something else,
which is what it should like, have always been.
And you
been
get Immortal to yeah play now?
It should have always yeah been that. Like, that's the position yeah it should have been last time. They could have done that.
I agree.
Put
I
that behind a flaming 4 logo and you have no problems. And instead yeah they...
Well, I mean, just now, imagine people playing while queuing. I mean, the mm-hmm coverage is probably a little bit spotty at the con, but playing while queuing or at the hotel in with your friends, that would be the best way to launch it. And Tencent has been saying the game is done, and they've been saying this since...
NetEase, you mean? You mean NetEase?
No, oh, sorry, NetEase, yeah.
Yeah.
They've been saying it since, like, Christmas. And, of course, Blizzard always puts a lot of care in polishing their games, but I'm wondering if they're thinking, you know, we have to hold it until first it's polished, and second, we can release it at BlizzCon to gain our fans back. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree with both of you. I think this is a huge year, and it's going to set the tone for a long time.
Yeah. I think in addition to the Diablo 4 of, like, you know, a stopped clock is right twice a day. Eventually, we're going to hit Diablo 4. I think we're eventually. I really think there's a strong likelihood that there will be a surprising announcement for Hearthstone outside of just another expansion.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know what it is, but I think there's going to be like something.
What kind of thing do you have any idea?
Like a game mode or something. Like okay. I don't want to say tournament mode because for lack of anything better to say, they have crushed my soul on any hope for tournament mode ever happening.
Well, they straight up said it's not coming, right?
They use the term hiatus, and I'm not gonna get into it. The point is, I could see a new game mode. I don't know if it's a new limited way to play Hearthstone, which I think the game direly needs. Just something outside of the ladder, or maybe a ladder overhaul, because they've talked for years now about drastic changes to the ladder.
Yeah, and this would be a time to maybe come through on that.
And it's kind of the same thing for Overwatch. We've heard about that, you know, rumor for an Overwatch 2 title, whatever it ends up being. Most people's suspicion is that it would be a PvE, like game as a service type thing for Overwatch, with Overwatch, the existing one being for the IP Overwatch being a new title, and Overwatch being the PvP thing. My suspicion is that it would be called Overwatch Zarya and Tracer's Excellent Adventure. I think that would
work. All right. I like where you're going.
And it there's been so little happening beyond, you know, new characters and new maps and stuff like that, that we all think something else is coming and something big. If it's a new Overwatch title, I think the reaction of people would be pretty positive. Spectacular even.
Yeah, I think it'd be good. I think they like we've all sort of said, this is a chance for them to knock everybody's socks off, kind of get everybody back in everyone's good graces. Like, there's a real opportunity here. I do, as much as everyone's been bemoaning the mobile stuff, I do kind of hope that these incubators and those who are working on some of those projects, that maybe one of those is ready to talk about. But maybe they don't need it this year. But there's these like three almost guaranteed things that are gigantic. I mean, do you really need anything else? Especially if
I think they're going to be very cagey about anything mobile after last year's BlizzCon. That's interesting, because you there's an argument for then definitely talk about it this year when there's other kind of main, you know, PC to revel in. But also, I think there's an argument for hold it until you can just say, and you can play it now, or you can play it tomorrow.
Yeah, that I agree.
This is close.
I agree. And they put themselves in that position. Like last year, they shouldn't have done that, because what they should have, there should be a space in their presentation to say, here's what our mobile teams have done. It's okay. That's all right. But after last year's, just that, the way everyone walked away from that, you can't do that now. You gotta either tack it on like Patrick does, like a bonus. They have to,
listen, the problem is,
yes.
If they have a healthy ecosystem for Blizzard, then they can announce minor things. The problem with the Diablo Immortal thing last year was that they had not just nothing else to announce that year, but everyone was super hungry for, you know, there was no content in their existing games. So if they have games that are healthy and have been updated recently, I think they could totally announce a couple of mobile games and say, well, maybe they can't say, hey, we know it's not your thing, but we have it anyway. But it's different if you have had stuff in the past few years at BlizzCon, and if you haven't.
StarCraft Tactics. Bring me that. I will play it right now. I don't care if it's free to play. I'm ready.
Scott Johnson for president.
Dude, how much fun is that? It's all the fun. A Blizzard-made StarCraft II Tactics. Turn-based tactics game. Mobile or otherwise. Put it on both. I don't care. I'd play the shit out of that right this second.
Anything right. StarCraft. I don't care.
Yeah.
So you mean StarCraft like turn-based strategy?
Yeah, like a turn-based... Yeah, exactly that.
I think they're going to leave StarCraft in a box for a while.
Oh, man. It's so ripe for something new. They just...
It isn't. It isn't, though. How is it ripe for something?
Because
new?
It's
How is Overwatch like? You unless it's like a major departure, you just slap a 2 on it and have some new.
Yeah,
maps.
I'm not saying we want new StarCraft games that are new StarCraft games like RTSs. I'm saying like the saddest news of the year for me was finding out that that big warlike game they had set in the StarCraft universe got canceled. I mean, that really bummed
me out. I just think strategy games are not very popular at the moment.
Well, we're talking about something smaller scale that could work on a mobile platform.
Yeah, like, auto chess maybe. is taking the world by the wiener. Why not this? Something, you know, okay.
I mean, I mentioned it before. Maybe you weren't on the episode, but I feel like I've mentioned some sort of turn-based StarCraft game many times on the show. But, like, imagine, like, an Into the Breach style game that, but, you know, set in the StarCraft universe.
Yeah, I mean, Into the Breach was successful as an indie little thing that everyone who knows games loves. But I don't think that's the kind of thing Blizzard as a company is shooting for. Maybe with the incubator they are. I don't know.
If it's mobile possible. And there's a way for them to make a crap ton of transactions, microtransactions, then maybe. But I'm not going to try to convince the world that turn-based tactics games are the hot genre by any stretch. But
if it comes out and you love it, I'll be super happy for you that I was wrong.
All right. That's fair.
That's how I feel about Overwatch. Actually, I'm sitting here wondering if they can sell me again on Overwatch. Is like, can they make another game in
a PvE thing, yeah, like Destiny enough? Type?
I don't know. I don't know what I want, and I don't want to go down that road. Okay. I just, if it's Overwatch 2 and it's just more Overwatch.
Oh, it wouldn't be that a doesn't PvP. Do it for me. I don't think it would be a PvP. You know, team based shooter. I think it has to be. Probably PvE, I think.
Yeah.
Either a narrative based thing or a game as a service.
Some aspect to it at the very least. But if it's Destiny like, that excites me and also perplexes me, because how many rad different kinds of rocket or grenade launchers is, you know, Junkrat gonna find in the cave of Destiny or whatever? Like, I have a lot of questions about loot and progression and things that
I do too as well, but it's an interesting universe that really fell off for me after the initial launch, because I just found that I was like, oh, I'm just, you know, not that into a PvP shooter that doesn't go beyond that. So I don't, and that isn't to say they need to cater to me, but I'm just.
But you enjoyed Destiny. Overwatch's best feature is its characters, and I think you enjoyed the characters and the
very much so. Anything that actually gives us a story, legitimately, and not just little one-liners that everyone loses their mind over in subreddits, would interest me a lot. I'd be very into that, because it seemed when they announced it, and you know, Metzen was still around, I'm like, oh my god, they're doing the Blizzard Avengers, and then I was just like, oh, they're not.
Well, it is.
I think another title contender was Overwatch Heroes Assemble. I think that would be exactly the Avengers movie game we need.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, keep in mind, Overwatch. Titan was the vision. They were aiming to make the greatest custom built, non licensed superhero game ever made, and it turned into whatever it turned into. So I think that they had those kind of high minded ideas, but. Maybe two gets us closer to that. Maybe it's something in the middle. And
yeah, listen, I know I'm in the minority for being a lore nerd, but Blizzard is a company who, at least their three original tentpoles of Warcraft, Starcraft, Diablo, I really cared about the lore, and it kept me engaged. But with Overwatch, with the lack thereof, it seems to me like Dota or Apex Legends. I'm like, why are you wasting your time writing lore for these characters? Nobody gives a crap.
You have to either
you're not going deep enough.
Yeah, you go deep enough or not.
That's the problem,
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think that they want to do that. So hopefully too is reflective of that.
They had plans which they canceled. I think we discussed it at one point. Which might possibly be because they canceled them to put those stories into a game. Instead of into a comic.
Maybe. Yeah. Patrick, you and I talked about this on an Overwatch podcast we used to do, about how much my heart was broken when I heard that the like ongoing graphic novels, not just the shorts that they post online, was canceled.
Yeah. I don't think they were selling very many. Let me say this. If you do enough searching on the internet, you'll find all kinds of Overwatch stories, if you know what
those
I mean.
Those aren't the ones I want.
There's your lore right there, buddy. All right. Okay. Before we get to the rest of Blizzard, listening makes us smarter. I think that's true. People listening to us right now hopefully are smarter. We're definitely more connected. a smarter, more connected people. Well, Audible is where so many inspiring voices and compelling stories open listeners up to new experiences and ways of thinking. Audible is a great sidekick for summer activities like hiking, sunbathing, and the beach and poolside, running, road tripping, downtime in the outdoors, and more. Listen anytime, anywhere, and never lose your spot when you're switching devices. That's my favorite thing. Syncing across devices rules. We've got this rad offer right now. Wanted to let you guys know about it as our Instance audience. Amazon Prime members are getting a cool deal. For a limited time, Amazon Prime members can start an Audible membership and save $30 total for their first 3 months. That's like getting 3 months for the price of one. So it's $4.95 a month for the first 3 months, and after that, it's only $14.95 per month. Offer is valid from the 1st of this month through the 31st. So by July 31st, you're going to want to have that done. There's no better place to listen. Audible members choose three titles every month, one audiobook plus two Audible originals that you can't hear anywhere else. On top of audiobooks and Audible originals, members get access to audio-guided fitness and meditation programs. That seems rad. Just go to audible.com/wow, audible.com, audible.com/wow, or text wow to 500-500 and browse their unmatched selection of audio content. I love them. I've read multiple of the WoW books, the Christy Golden books. That's how I got them, was on Audible, which is fantastic. I think they're the best versions to get. Here it is again, audible.com/wow, or text the show code WOW, which is W-O-W, to 500-500 on your phone. All right, let's look at what else is happening around Blizzard. It turns out a bit. Sigma is the latest character in Overwatch, the aforementioned name, or game, rather. He seems really cool. I have not played him on the PTR. My son has. He's raving about him, and he doesn't even like tanks. He has no shoes on. Everyone went crazy about that. Blizzard answer, or their answer was, well, this keeps up the kind of he's an escaped psycho sort of motif they're aiming for with him. Anyway, apparently brings much needed meta issues to the game as it's currently constituted, and I'm actually really excited about him. Patrick is our resident Overwatch, always been in love. Do you like Sigma?
Yeah, I think it's a nice addition to the game. I think there's another more important bit of news, which is they're implementing 2-2-2 queue. Mm. So you're gonna have to have two DPS, two healers, and two tanks.
That's outside of arcade, that'll be the new. That's the standard then.
Yep.
Oh
yep,
wow, yep, yep. I didn't know that. Interesting. That's one way to.
So that's pretty big.
Yeah.
Well, they're pushing that through to the esport as well, is my understanding.
Yeah. It's basically arcade is going to be the only way. Like, there's going to be one small classic mode where you can't play 2-2-2. Now it's going to be the standard for everyone.
I don't mind that, but it does feel like an answer. This is the problem I have with HGC. HGC pulled heroes around by the neck and told it what to do. From a design standpoint, and I feel like that's true of almost all esports. I imagine this is a case where Overwatch is sort of being told what to do pro scene. But.
It's not ideal. The thing is, you can find issues with that decision. The thing is, it was getting problematic to not have these kinds of rules. So every game is different, and you know, it wasn't the worst thing in the world. It's just it's not the best. Experience either without those things. So yeah, that being said, all of these things, I still enjoy Overwatch. I played it for an hour earlier. But even those things, Sigma, yeah, kind of okay, fine. 2-2-2, cool, okay, we'll see how it works out. It's kind of not cosmetic, but kind of cosmetic little changes, which it's not doing what I think I need to get back into the, oh my God, I love Overwatch, it's the best thing in the world mindset, which I was when we were doing the aforementioned, you know, for 3 years. And this is still not that.
Yeah.
So I felt I wanted to acknowledge that.
Which is why it's not shocking that perhaps a 2 is on its way to revitalize whatever the scene is supposed to be. So we'll see how that goes.
I mean, 2, we keep saying 2, it's probably going to be called, you know,
yeah,
Overwatch... Avengers, no, Heroes Assemble.
Heroes Assemble, yeah, that was your name. How about Overwatch? Who watches the Overwatchers? No? Not good? No? Okay. No. All right. I'm not married to it. They can do something else. It's totally fine. Hey, Hearthstone, Garrett, as the angry chicken host, you probably know what the hell's going on with that game. What's happening in there?
As someone who just got back from a vacation when over 30 cards were revealed, I'm actually not the best person to talk to right now.
Oh, you're a little behind, are you? Okay.
I'm a little behind. Yeah, I've been playing catch up. I've been working on the angry chicken notes a little bit for tomorrow's show at the time of recording this. And there's just some insane cards. There's just some nutsoid things, which is pretty on point with the history of the game as we know it now. The middle expansions tends to bring a lot of power every year, and that certainly appears to be the case with a lot of the cards that were released in the last revealed in the last 2 weeks.
I like the sound of it. Mayhaps I will play more. Probably not, though.
Yeah, I hope you like mummies. If you like mummies, this is your expansion.
Ooh, sweet. Mummies are cool. Oh, because, they get the whole, the what's-her-names are back. They're doing Tomb Raiding again.
The Explorers. Yes, you go. Yes, you're.
Tomb Raider 4, we're here.
Yes, yeah. And if you like Murloc mummies, it has that for
Who
you
doesn't
as well.
Like Murloc mummies? I dare them to say they don't. Heroes of the Storm got a big deal happen today, in fact. Up till today, it was just a bit of a mystery. They've been teasing a new character, or at least we assumed it was a new character online. A couple of screen grabs from what turned out to be their hero spotlight. It is another original Nexus character named Quira, or Kira. Q-H-I-R-A. They say it in the video, so probably easier to find.
I'm going
to
go with Kira. This was released while I was on lunch, and when I came back from lunch, we started this recording. So yeah. I haven't actually seen this yet.
You should watch the video. It's very good. She looks rad. She's got this sword that reminds me of... It's in segments. So it's a sword when you're holding it, but if she whips it out, it becomes kind of a whip. It's like something God of War would use. Just in like these big gold segments to the sword.
Oh yeah, it's like a blade on a chain.
Yeah, it's very cool. Really cool. She's supposed to be some sort of hunter. I'm getting a very Black Panther kind of vibe, kind of Wakanda warrior kind of vibe out of it, which I think is very cool.
The teaser image looked predator as hell.
Oh, it's super
like
predator.
This wall of skulls of enemies she vanquished in the Nexus.
Ultralisks and stuff on the thing. It's pretty cool.
That anyway, is a Hydralisk, sir.
Oh, I meant Hydralisk. I keep saying Ultralisk. Ultralisks don't fit in your living room. Anyway, it says she's a sworn knight and holder of a singularity shard. Quira's only desire to seek out others who may have escaped the destruction of her doomed home realm, Eresia, which apparently was the, according to the video, the envy of all other realms. But it is a another homegrown character. We haven't had one of those since last BlizzCon with what's her beak?
Orphea. The only Nexus-born hero that we've had up until this point.
Yeah, and I was concerned she might be the only, but. This one looks good. She looks awesome. Yes, Garrett, or Patrick.
How do you guys feel about Heroes now that it's been, 6 months since the big slowdown?
Is it better than I have in the game's history? It's weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but I've been playing every day. They made a change to it where they added 10% speed to most everybody's movement speed.
Everybody's.
Not most. Well, totally I shouldn't say most because... Yeah. What I'm sort of indicating there is that it screwed up some ultimates. It did some other things, but for the most part, that really felt good to me. I know I'm not, not everyone's 100% in on that, but I really like that. I think it just made the game feel better in a way that was kind of palpable for me. And so I've been playing a ton and having more fun and shorter queues and better games and more incredible endings than I've ever had in that game. So I'm actually starting to buy into this idea that the developers, now unsheathed from the pressures of esports, are making a better game, and the game is playing better for players. I absolutely do. Really? Now the fact that there are, I mean, at the queue times, literally like 10 seconds on average. Like it's just there are people playing it all the time, and as much as that brought me low when they chucked HTC and they announced that they were stripping things down a little bit and people are moving on to other projects or whatever. I mean, I was horribly concerned about all of that, but I've never had so much fun in that game. So I don't know what's happening right now, but it's drawing me in a serious way. I also say this, I think Anduin's a PUD, like in World of Warcraft, he's just a weenie, and I've never been an Anduin fan at all, But man, Anduin is the bomb in Heroes of the Storm. I love playing him, and I'm saving teams' asses and getting MVP in like multiple games in a row. It's amazing. He is so good.
Man, you're making me want to play it.
You should play it. You should play
it. It's great. I agree with everything that Scott just said.
Yeah. I mean, it's just great right now. It's just so great right now. And I don't know. Again, it's not just the speed thing. It's something else.
That is left, because they did basically have the size of the team and send half of the team to work on other projects. But the team that has remained on, they just love the game. They just seem to, I don't know. They seem to just legitimately want to do what's best for it. The communication out of them through AMAs and comments within the subreddit have been coming on the regular, and I really like kind of the openness. Like, they've straight up admitted when there's like, yeah, this is something we'd like to do, we just don't really have the time for it, sadly.
Yeah, no, they're talking way more than they did when they were double the team. Like, they're way more open and more communicative than they used to be.
Yeah, it's really good, and I'm surprised to see another Nexus Born hero coming out. The updates have been coming fast and furious. We're also getting a huge like rank like overhaul with the way the MMR works and everything. With the it will be coming alongside, what the hell is it? Kira?
Yeah, Kira, Kira, whatever it is.
I'm gonna say Kira because that's
when you hear the thing, you'll hear it and go, "Oh, okay," and then you'll never forget. And I'll just be the one that forgets.
Yeah,
so don't worry.
I will brush up on. I will actually watch the video for Into the Nexus this week. I promise everybody. Yeah.
I think a big part of this too lately has been, you know, I don't know if you knew about this, Patrick, but they moved everybody out of the roles they used to have. So they used to have this kind of laner role that they called what was it called? Specialist.
Then they had
support, which was healers and other types of support. Then you had warrior, and then you had assassin. That's all different now. It's ranged assassin. It's melee assassin. It's bruiser. It's warrior. It's there are no specialists anymore. And most of the specialists, not all, but most of those were moved into either assassin roles or bruiser roles. And they fit.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I do think that those new tags are helpful from a learning standpoint. You know, if you're getting in and you're newer to the game or you haven't been back for a while and knowing what the hero should do. But what has been more impactful is that they are continuing to do pretty major reworks to existing heroes.
Right. So that they fit those roles better in a lot of cases.
Yeah. Like right before the new role assignment went live, we got that huge Sylvanas rework. And this was a while ago now. But it really pushed her into a ranged assassin role more than she ever was before. And she could pull it off before just fine. But now she really, truly is a ranged assassin. And it feels right. It completely works for the character. And it's something I've really enjoyed.
Got really weird for me because part of this came. And, you know, part of the reason I think I might be so back in is I went down the auto chess road a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I should probably know more about these characters. I'm going to play Dota 2 for a couple of matches and just, you know, I played it before, but I never really paid attention. So let's just go see. And I really did not enjoy it. And I thought, I don't like this. This is not great. Well, let's try Teamfight Tactics. Okay, same thing. I'm playing that going, well, I should know more about these League of Legends heroes. They're even more lore heavy than the ones in Dota. Dota 2s are just like, this guy's an axe, so we're calling him Axe. And over at least they made some attempt over in League to kind of make everything their own. So I went over there and played a couple of League games and actually preferred it to Dota, but at the end I went, I don't like this at all. Like these are the reasons I like heroes, because I don't like these are not fun to play for me. They're too long. There's ridiculous old school ideas that they just refuse to drop that I think smartly heroes does. And
I mean, in the defense of League and Dota, I think it makes for a very interesting esport, but it's not the game I
want
to play.
Right, it's not the one I want to play, exactly. That's exactly where my head's at. So I left those games and went back to Heroes and went, oh, right, this is rad. Like, this is what I want. I don't need to go wandering around looking for something else just because I'm butthurt over an esport going away. This is where I want to play. This is where I want to spend time, that I want to be with friends. This is where I want to have team games of this is where I want to be. And it's since then, I just haven't been able to stop. It's been great. Anyway, Patrick, if we haven't convinced you now, I don't know what will.
Heroes is a game that I've always wanted to play and have never had time kind of to dedicate myself to. I did play. Anyway, yes, I want to play. It's one of the games I want to play more of. And maybe I will.
Trying to find, you said once, I have a clip of you saying something about Lily. Where is it?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think you said, I really, really like Lily. Remember that?
I remember
oh,
that one.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. No, I played seriously for a few months. I think it was when Overwatch was not, like, the beta was on break or something, and I made that my game for a few months.
Yeah.
And that was great. I played quite a bit.
I think you'd even like it more now. There's something feels, I don't know, man. Something feels
It's just
good.
There are so many games I want to play. You know, it's this luxury thing where
I'm with you.
I want to play, and I'm back into Destiny. And I've been playing Destiny for 2 weeks nonstop.
I've had the itch and I don't have the time.
Yeah, same problem, right?
Just so good, man.
Patrick.
Problem.
I feel like in a pocket universe, you and I have a very successful Destiny podcast.
Well, in my pocket universe, Patrick is playing Lily and healing me just fine. So nice job.
Do you guys have the game that you feel got away? Because as far as podcasts are concerned, because for me, I feel it's Destiny.
Me too. That game.
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, that's a really good point. Question. I had so many weird experiences where I tried to dabble in a different, like, you know, when I tried to do the Old Republic game, I was really sure that thing was going to be, it'll be just like WoW and Blizzard, and they'll have all this information and always be new stuff to talk about. And it was just such a dud from a podcasting standpoint. Just
if
really
we had gone, if we had tried that, I think, like, after it went half free to play and they started rolling out expansions, I think it actually would have been kind of rad.
Yeah.
Easier to do a weekly
It may
show
have
about.
Worked. Yeah. It may have worked.
Yeah, I just think, at launch, it was rough.
It's just because Blizzard, the difference is Blizzard puts out a game when it's truly done most of the time, and that other thing was not.
Well, not even, I mean, there are plenty of people who play it and love it still. You could if it was your jam.
Yeah,
it turns
it's
out
not my jam at the
isn't.
Moment. Patrick, here's the link. Yeah. Here's the file I will play instead.
Bastion has a cock.
All right, there you go. That's all.
It's an oldie. That's fair.
Oldie,
I would argue
a
Bastion becomes one.
Yeah. That's right. Now, don't forget, Quira, she's out there. Check her out. Well, she's not out, but she'll be on the PTR soon, and she's fun. Or she looks fun. I have no idea. I haven't played her, but she looks rad.
PTR should be tomorrow.
PTR is tomorrow. And then probably a week. Last time it was a week with, who was it? Imperius.
Are they making those videos explaining what the explainer videos?
This one is a spotlight video with her narrating it, but not getting into all the detail that what's his name does. And, okay. He may still, because they up till now they have, like Anduin's did, so did Imperius.
Cloaken, who did the VO, no longer works for Blizzard.
I thought he was just in a different department and kept coming back to do him, no?
No, he left.
Ryan, not Ryan. What was his name?
Kevin.
Kevin Johnson, like the basketball
player. Yeah, he left.
Yeah, if he left, then I guess he won't be doing him.
Yeah, he's gone because Anduin was released after Kevin left, but he had already done the VO for Anduin's video.
Yeah. So this one may be all they do. I don't know, but it's pretty self-explanatory. It may not be to a new player, but to me, I was like, oh, that's her two ultimates. Sweet. Okay. I see how that would work in a fight. Like, it's pretty easy to tell what she'll do. You should check it out, though.
Why is my Heroes of the Storm not updated?
Because you are a dirty, dirty Frenchman with
Because you have to have it installed for it to update, Patrick.
No, it is installed. I guess they stop updating it if you haven't launched it for like a year.
Conspiracy.
Also, we're all on the subject of Heroes. I really want to promote Lash's Twitch stream because she's been streaming the crap out of Heroes, and y'all should go support it. So go check out twitch.tv/itslashes.
Yeah, she's great. She's... why she's not... Do you remember when they had a job posting up for on the Heroes team for some community thing? And I'm like, okay, just bring Lashes back. She was the best thing in the company. What are you doing?
Oh, the one I saw getting thrown around was a Heroes or a Hearthstone one.
Oh, was it a Heart? Maybe that was it.
That guy got quite a bit of flack because it seemed like it was at least three rolls rolled into one.
Oh, right. And there were people... Somebody said, I've had two of those three roles. Don't take this job. Like, it's just going to be too hard to do all three of those things and you're not going to get paid enough. But I don't know how it worked out. Anyway, doesn't matter. I have a quick email and I have to play this by law.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
All right. right, the Town Crier says it's time for emails. These are emails that came to us at theinstance@gmail.com. This comes from Fred. He says, hey, Instance crew. By the way, do you guys know anyone named Fred? Like a personal acquaintance that you hang out with named Fred?
Not someone I hang out with on the regular, but yes, I know someone named Fred.
I don't know anyone named Fred in my personal life. No one.
Listen, if you are hearing this and you're going to BlizzCon and your name is Fred, please introduce yourself to Scott so that he can have someone he knows named Fred.
If they put me on stage, like to get one better.
If you're listening to this and your name is not Fred, I would just like you to wave to Scott and say, Fred.
Oh, great. Now you've opened the floodgates. I can't count on any truth anymore.
Don't stop and actually engage. Just be like, Fred. Hey, Scott. Fred.
Fred. I like your idea a lot. All right. Fred says, in a month, Classic is released, and we have yet to see a single Blizzard advertisement or real advertisement for Classic outside their launcher and the Blizzard webpage. We know Blizzard won't consider Classic a big release, but still, the more exposure is better for sure. If they want Classic to be a success, why do you think they haven't been saying anything? Best regards, Fred. I think they know who their audience is, and their audience is not in movie theaters or at home watching MTV. I think they know that we're playing WoW or pining for something like Classic, and there's no real reason for them to reach outside of that.
I think it's more technical than that. I think there's nothing to pre-order. So
yeah.
Why advertise right now? I bet you every damn website you go to on the regular is going to be rolling Classic ads like crazy once it's live.
Guaranteed, yeah. And plus,
there's still nothing to pre-order, though. You mean it's going to be once it
is live, and right. All you have to do is resub to play. I think there's going to be ads all over the place.
That's a really good point. This was a thing to buy, they may have been advertising it by now because you could pre-order, but that's not how this works. I think you're totally right.
Yeah,
I think that's
it's also, I don't think anyone who might want to play Classic doesn't know that it's coming, right? I think everyone
that's kind of what I was saying before. I think it's a combination of those people are already going to be there. They're gearing up with these beta tests and stuff and stress tests for that expectation, for whatever their numbers are.
Yeah, I mean the streams were huge for the beta.
Yeah, they were big.
It was all the talk, and there was articles all over the place about Classic WoW, and I think it's going to happen all over again.
Yeah,
and probably stick around a little bit longer when we actually get to the release.
It is a little bit like, I mean, I can't speak for their marketing department, but it's like saying, well, why doesn't Blizzard show up at E3 every year? Well, because they don't need to. And it's kind of like this. They probably just don't need to advertise this now, and they will when it hits, because web advertising is a lot cheaper, but also they just know their audience. They know where they're at. I think everyone who cares will know. And if you don't care, why would you?
I'm expecting like an email too, because we get those a lot. I still have an old like extra WoW account that I get emails for when they do the come back for free this weekend. Like I get those blasts all the time. Yep. I'm sure that's going to happen for Classic.
Guaranteed. They keep you forever. That's the way it works. If you'd like to send us an email like Fred did, which is apparently a real name of a guy I've never met, you can send us an email, theinstance@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Twitter, Scott Johnson. You got Not Patrick over there. You got Garrett Art. All of us, and the show, of course, Instance Show. It's a great way to ask us questions if you would like to do that as well. Before we go today, probably should let everybody have a chance to say any other cool stuff they got going on. Garrett, anything happening in your world?
Literally everything. I am back from vacation, and I have all of the podcasts to do this week. Going to have a huge Angry Chicken tomorrow. Jocelyn and I will be joined by Jonathan Vigil, lead singer for the band The Ghost Inside, and also a streamer for Fade to Karma. I'm really excited to have him on. He's been listening to the show for quite a while.
That's cool. And he's
going to help us barrel through a lot of cards that have been revealed in the last 7 days. Other than that, expect a whole lot of talk about Kira and the upcoming patch for Heroes of the Storm on Into the Nexus this Thursday. So go check that out.
Nice. Amove.tv, everybody. Patrick, mm-hmm. Anything going on over there? Frenchspin.tv? Or no,
I'm on vacation. Oh, it's right. Frenchspin.com, but no, not really. Just check out Garrett's shows. They're awesome.
Do that.
Listen to them.
Hold on, Patrick. When do you get done with your 9 months? When's the 9 months up? How long until you're home?
A couple of weeks.
Okay. Man, I want to be you. I want to be you so bad right now. I hate this feeling of wanting to be you. It's a weird feeling. I don't like it. I'm not comfortable with it. All right.
I feel things when I think about paid time off.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, you realize I am my own. I'm self-employed, so it's not like I'm getting paid time off here. I prepared shows, and I'm getting people to replace me, so I'm not living off the, you know,
the fat of the lamb
of the government, of the socialist government. I'm one of the only French people in existence that isn't doing that.
Macron's so, teat. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Best of luck in all the fun relaxing you're doing. For everybody else, thanks for watching us today. Thanks for enjoying. I guess you didn't watch us because we didn't record this live, but thanks for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts or feelings about the show, you can certainly email us. As I mentioned before, the website is theinstance.net. And don't forget, you can support us over at theinstance.net. Just click on the little support link. There's all kinds of cool stuff you get during the month. And it is a new month coming up in a couple of days. So perfect time for y'all to get on that and get with us. We'd appreciate it. That's theinstance.net. That's going to do it for us. For me, Patrick Garrett. See you next time.
Bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.